This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Please finalize when an observation is going to happen on the show today, please.
I don't think we can finalize it because we don't know.
No. Chris, can you and I figure this out? We don't have to go 24 minutes with Mike Tenenbaum at 12:30 or 24 minutes with Jesse Rogers at noon.
I will agree with that.
If we agree that we'll go 15 minutes with one of those guys, we have time for observations.
Exactly, and I would probably lean toward taking some of Tenenbaum's time away because I think we got a lot to dive into with baseball and Jesse Rogers.
So, and I'm fine with that. So yeah. we have to make a deal as a show that if Tenenbaum comes on at 12:30, by 12:44, we say thank you, we're done, goodbye.
Yes, so you and I will get to ask Mike Tenenbaum two questions. Rick will probably ask him three, and then we've got to cut the interview.
And that's fine.
Yeah. I can't promise anything.
No, I'm sorry. We will pot you down. We will turn your microphone down after three questions.
Yes.
I just want to say for the record that Mike, it was Dave and Chris that want to cut your appearance short. It was not Rick DiPietro. I love you. I would keep you on for the full hour if I could. No, he's listening.
We love him as well, but there are other things that need to get done.
Nothing more important than Tenenbaum.
And observations is one of those things. Right now, if I said eight questions in the NFL, you have eight questions that are pressing in the NFL right now?
Currently, no, but you know how smart Mike is that all of a sudden he says something, it spurs my brain a little bit, and I go, boom, another question.
But you can't ask that question next week? Write it down, save it for next week? Like, do you have to have the Philip Rivers question answered now or the Dak Prescott? We're going to get it to Dak.
Once I ask it, once I think of it, if I don't, it's gone. You know that.
But why would you deny our listeners and observations today?
Oh, you should look at the weather as well. I mean, they could go out with raincoats. They could dress in parkas if they don't get the weather later.
There's no chance. It's hot. It's hot today.
All right.
Hot. And there's a 100% chance I'll be in the pool again.
Supposed to rain this afternoon.
Diving for treasure. It doesn't matter if it rains. Unless there's lightning, we will be in the pool. There's one certainty in life.
If we don't have observations, you'll never know. If we don't have observations, you'd never know.
And I made the mistake of wearing, it's not a mistake because I appreciate the thought. My wife got me shoes to wear in the pool, and I've been wearing the shoes in the pool and then not realizing I should take them off if I'm going to sit in the sun. So it now looks like I have a pair of permanent white socks on my feet.
But that can be remedied quickly.
But yeah, I could, but I mean, that would just take extra work. I'm not going to sit with my, I probably could actually sit with my bare feet.
Just sit with your feet out in the sun.
I'd like to pretend there was time to do that, Dave, but in all honesty, there's no time. There is none. I have no time. I'm up. I'm cannonballing. I'm diving. He's on my shoulders. I got to throw him. There's a lot going on. Now Ella swims.
You're spending more time at home, but you have less time at home.
Yeah. When I'm going in and like back and forth, when things are normal and we're going back and forth from the studio, is even if it's 3.5-4 hours of traffic, it's probably, not probably, it's a lot less work than this current situation.
You must miss the commute, though, right?
No.
The Bronx, no?
No, absolutely not, no. No. No, I mean, the level of,
highway, no.
I mean, just all the respect I lose peeing in a bottle twice a day is just too much. I don't even have a
second.
Here's the best thing. I don't have to drive. I only go to the grocery store, so save it on gas.
I filled my car up with gas for the first time since March yesterday.
And how much cheaper is gas? And on top of it, I don't even have a second car anymore. This is the first time, I can't even tell you how long, where we've only had one vehicle.
You don't need one.
Exactly right. I almost got talked into getting in one anyway. I was like, you know what? This doesn't make any sense.
No, not now.
I'm not going to be bullied into getting the car.
That was a smart move by you.
Not now.
Smart move by you.
Until we get back into normal population, and then you think about a second car.
Yeah, but they played the mind game where I made the mistake early on in my career buying cars, and then it's a good investment. No, it's not. It's a terrible investment.
Somebody told you that buying a car was a good investment?
Yeah, it's better than leasing. Because then you can sell it. And I'm like, well, then that means I have to sell it. And it depreciates as soon as I drive it off the lot. I'm just going to lease. And then he tried to talk me into, because there's when you bring the car back on lease, there's the inspection cost. That if you just get another car, that we just forego that cost and get you into the new car.
Sure.
So he had me thinking about it. And I was like,
Is this the same guy that sold you the alpacas?
This is his cousin.
He's a hell of a salesman.
This is his cousin, yeah.
Is his cousin?
Yeah, yeah. Alpaca seats though in this one. Beautiful.
Mike Zelenka tweets in, we absolutely demand observations. Vinny Jones, tell Rick to just cut it out. We need observations. It's a break from everything.
All right, this is what I wanted.
Yeah, I mean,
wanted
you need to be baby the law. But how come when I tell you that we need observations, And Chris tells you that we need observations. It doesn't matter. But when Mike Zelenka and Vinny Jones tell you they need observations, now all of a sudden it's something that you're willing to do.
Because the show's not about me or you or Chris. The show's about the listeners. And they get what they want. If they want more Mike Tannenbaum instead of observations, I got to think about it. But because we've had this response, we're going to have to go with an observation. It's all Santy, geared up.
Santy, why don't you put a poll out on the DCR on ESPN Twitter account? Would you rather have a longer interview with Mike Tannenbaum, or would you rather have an observations, and whatever the people say is what we do? Is that fair?
And then you can blame the people. You can tell Mike Tannenbaum to blame the people when it turns
out
that
this is what Dave does. This is how
this is genius. Chris, this is brilliant.
Yeah, this is straight out of the Chris Carter playbook. You got to find yourself the fall guy.
And you think if we say goodbye to Mike, you make it sound like 14 minutes is a brief interview.
I just don't want to put a cap on it. I'm bad with that. I can't make any firm commitment. You know that. You asked me to do dinner a month from now. I can't say yes.
Fuck integrity, you guys are.
Oh, relax, would you please?
All of a sudden, you're a program director?
Yeah, we're stealing,
side.
We're stealing quarter hours, baby. We're stealing quarter hours.
Wow. All right. So,
that's not me coming at you, Santiago, just by the way. I just want
all of a sudden,
to reflect.
I mean, you're supposed to be on our side.
Listen.
Now you're management?
No, listen, I'm not talking as management. I'm just saying, like, you clearly blow past the clock every segment, every hour, and now all of a sudden you want to get out 12:14. All right, we'll see.
You don't think we can do it?
I don't think you can do it.
Wow. Well, that's all we need.
No, because don't fall into it.
No,
don't fall into it. We're the Ricky Henderson of stealing quarter hours, man. Don't. Come on, stop. He's going to challenge you to do this, and we're not going to like it. You know you're not going to like it.
We'll get it done. I'm not concerned about it at all. I mean, I swear to God, at 12:44, he'll be in the middle of, and I see Tua as a, I'll be like, Mike, we got to go. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
So you're going
to
cut him off mid-sentence.
Dude.
Wow. That's strong.
Mid-sentence.
If you're absolutely that concerned about it, Santiago, listen, just leave it to me. I'll hack into the system. I'll clean up all the,
yeah, there you go.
All the clock integrity.
And you know why? Because he's able to turn his Comrex on all by himself right now.
Listen, it's more than some people can do.
Thank you, Santy. I appreciate that. I'll
Victor
take it.
Silva, we need the thorough weather report from Dave. Tell H. Dumpty 39 to smarten up. We need an observations.
It's happening. Speaking. You want it, you're going to get it.
All right. Let's hear
tell my wife. You want it, you'll get it.
Yes. Let's hear from probably the most famous doctor in the world right now. That is Anthony Fauci.
Dr. Nick?
What happened?
I would say Dr. Nick's up there, too, from The Simpsons.
I would say Fauci at this very moment might have honors. But he was on the K Show yesterday and was asked the question, which sport concerns you the most with returning?
The sport that has the most contact, which in this case is football, is something you need to pay attention to and figure out how you can get players to play a season safe. And in what particular circumstance. And that's really going to depend in many respects on the status of the outbreak at the time that season is being played. So, I mean, I have a concern about the health of everyone, and I certainly am a sports lover, and I'm more concerned about the health of the players. So, I mean, if the specific answer to your question, those sports in which there is the most contact and depending upon the status of the outbreak.
Makes sense.
Well, it makes perfect sense.
Most contact.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense. Here's the one caveat I will say to Dr. Fauci's point. In I think a lot of what's going into these protocols and everything else is behind closed doors having conversations. What's our risk of someone passing away? And it's almost, 99% or whatever it is, this age, this kind of shape, they'll get through it. The problem with this though is even if you think that the symptoms aren't that bad, COVID-19 isn't something that players can play through. That ultimately becomes the biggest problem. Mm. I mean, you start talking, with the flu, you're positive for the flu. You can play through it. You're going to play through it. Like, the team will run the risk of you, especially if you're one of the better players, the team will run the risk of other guys getting it as long as you can play. That's not the case with COVID-19. You get it, you're out for at least 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then trying to get yourself back. So you can talk. We can talk about the symptoms and all. Guys will get through it, but they're still going to have to miss at least 2 weeks.
And what happens if you're actually sick? This is 2 weeks if you have it. If you're actually sick, I mean, and you're talking about a 60-game season and you get it, I don't know, 20 games in, you could miss the rest of the season.
Yeah, if you're a starting pitcher and you get it, I mean, then you got to work your way back. You're going to miss half the season. It's 14 days on top of how much time it takes you to get back.
Right. And it depends how sick you are. It's 14 days if you're not sick. Suppose you're actually ill from this.
Well, or if you're actually positive, but you're showing no symptoms of it. How frustrating that would be. Like, if you're an NFL player, you have no symptoms at all, you feel fine, you test positive, they have to shut you down, and the entire 2 weeks you have no symptoms at all. And you still can't do anything.
Yeah, it's frustrating, but you're still getting paid. And so I think that's how a lot of players will look at it. The financial motivation is a big part of why they're going to push to try to start the season on time. The one thing that I glean from what Dr. Fauci says is that it sounds like he's expecting for there to be a second wave of coronavirus, because he said when the seasons are actually played, he said the concern with football is the amount of contact, but also when the season is played, it's going to be later this fall and on into the winter. And that would be right in the middle of when they're expecting a second wave of coronavirus to hit. So, I mean, that could ultimately affect whether the NFL is able to continue and finish the season that it starts in September. Mm-hmm. Scary stuff, man. I mean, I guess we're trying to nail down answers, and Dr. Fauci said it on the K-Show. It's like trying to hit a moving target. Like we don't know until these sports actually return and we actually see how all of this plays out.
But right, and there's no playbook for this either.
No, there is no playbook, and from a practical sense, we won't know until we actually see it. And then once we see it, you know, we're hoping that the plans that have been put in place, there are enough protocols, there are enough measures to keep the majority of players safe so you preserve the integrity of being able to have a season. You're hoping that's the case, but yes. Nobody really knows.
That's the truth. We don't know, and we're flying blind here. Let's go to the calls. Let's go to Dave and Elizabeth. Dave, you're next up on 98.7.
How you doing?
Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
We're okay. What's on your mind today?
I just wanted to comment on everybody's talking about should they go back to sports and everything. You know, I'm a sports fan and everything. But I look at it like this. People still have to go to work. And if I was a businessman, I would want my business to continue working and have my employees paid. So I don't find fault in people that want to go to work for money, because, you know, sports, everybody look at it as a game.
But I guess the question, Dave, is it necessary to go back for our society to move on? Like grocery stores have to exist. Doctors' offices have to be open. Hospitals have to be open. But do we have to actually have sports to exist as a society?
Not if you look at it as just a game. Because what about if you were an owner of any business? When you want your business to continue to at least try to make some money, you know, not to maximize on your profits, but you would want your employees to be paid a little bit too.
But that's the biggest point too, Dave. I mean, depending on who you ask that question, I mean, you could sit here and say that sports isn't necessary. I mean, unless you ask somebody that works for one of these sports teams, that's employed by one of these sports teams,
well,
that's getting
and that's
furloughed.
True. But he says it's the concern for the owners to pay the players. Do you think Major League Baseball owners are concerned about making sure the players get paid?
Not even a little bit.
No.
No, but you're also, I mean, the reason why you bring back sports isn't just for entertainment, too. I mean, it is part of stimulating the economy. It is,
I agree.
Mean, sports
I
employs
agree
a ton of people. I mean, we went through the numbers of just, I mean, one of the biggest losses going on right now, too, is how much money recreational sports for kids makes every year.
Yeah, correct.
So, I mean, that all goes into it. I understand both points, but, I mean, listen.
Sports doesn't feel like it's essential, though.
It's not essential, but to the people that play it and the people that own the teams, they feel like it's essential. And at a certain point, you can't stay shut down. If your employees are willing to assume a certain risk to work, then the owners of those companies are going to let them assume the risk.
But I think that's the biggest question. What is a reasonable risk? Like, what is the reasonable probabilities that your employees, you know, would be able to manage if, in fact, they do get infected with COVID-19? Because if you're talking about an employee coming back to work and dying, then I think they would say it's not worth that risk.
But I don't think they're laying it out like that. I mean, even listening to Dr. Fauci, I mean, one of his points was that at this,
no,
this
I know.
Segment of people which I don't necessarily like, because again, I mean, asking questions about long-term ramifications and everything else, they don't have great answers for that either. You know, there are some people months down the line that are still dealing with health issues, and there's some people that get through it in 2 weeks and they bounce right back and they're back to normal. What happens if you're one of these football players, and because you're staying at home, you take it back and, you know, your kid gets it and he ends up having an adverse reaction to it? I mean,
I don't know what to say. I mean, it's a trillion questions, and I can see each side of it. You want to come back, you want to stimulate the economy, you want to provide people with something to do, to play, to watch. It makes sense. And then, you know, you could take the other side. It's just it's risky. And even the 1%, is it worth the risk?
Yeah, for a certain amount of money, it's going to be worth the risk.
I hear what you're saying, Rick, but if you were to, I guess it would be easier to answer all of these questions in hindsight, but if you're talking about somebody losing their life as a result of a return to sports, then I would say that it's not worth the risk.
Well, until that happens, then that, I mean, that, until something like that happens,
but that's
God forbid that happens, is that they're not planning for that.
And I get that. Yeah, because, if you were saying, well, yeah, we know that somebody could die, but we're going to start anyway. No, I don't think they would operate like that. They wouldn't frame it like that. But the reality is, if somebody does pass away, questions will be asked about whether or not it was smart to have a return to sports.
And I think if one person passes away, God forbid, the answer would be no, it wasn't smart to return to sports.
Exactly. Unequivocally, I don't think that would even be a question.
One person, this entire time, if one athlete passes away, I don't care if it's the 12th guy on a basketball team or the best player on the team, football, baseball, whatever the sport is, one guy passes away and you'd have to say it's not worth the return.
Yeah. And that's the scary part about this.
It's terrifying.
Even though we have these probabilities, these statistics that show that these guys would be able to work past this illness, we just don't know. You can't guarantee it. And because of that, there's always going to be a risk associated with it. I just hope that nothing tragic happens when we have this return to sports, because it's going to happen. We recognize the motivation. We are going to see live team sports again this year. We're just hoping that if and when players do get infected with COVID-19, that they have a plan on how to deal with it and how to limit the spread.
Yeah, I mean, they're dotting all their I's and crossing all their T's with safety protocols and everything else. And, I mean, when push comes to shove, I mean, nothing's going to be 100% safe. It's not. People will get sick, and hopefully your athletes get through it. And if they don't, then you're going to have to deal with those ramifications.
Yep.
Which is your sport's going to have to shut down.
Which would be awful.
Well, which makes it feel dirty when you start talking about, you know, finances and everything else.
Yes.
But that's the truth, Rick. I mean, the economy makes our country go.
No, I understand that, but this isn't the time. I mean, to Chris's point, he's been making the entire time, and I agree with him 100%. To use this pandemic as, you know, leverage against your employees in Major League Baseball feels dirty to me.
I agree with that, and it feels like baseball is the only sport that's entrenched like that right now.
Yeah, but if there is that one person that passes away in Major League Baseball, what makes more sense? The owners take a financial loss, or a Major League Baseball player loses his life? Which is more serious?
Yeah, you're right.
I think life trumps money.
Okay, so that clearly is more serious. That's clearly a bigger risk. The risk of you losing money is a whole hell of a lot different than the risk of me losing my life.
Yes.
So why should I play for anything less than I originally agreed to?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the player's mindset. And maybe this should have been the rare time where the owner said, you know what, for this, under these circumstances, we'll take the risk of losing some money.
Yeah, they'd never do it. And you see, if they wouldn't do it now, they'll never do it. They will never, ever take
No, because both sides decided they want to use this opportunity
right
to puff out their chests headed into the 2021 CBA negotiations.
And that's baseball for you.
It's stupid is what it is.
It's unbelievable. All right, quick break. CMT coming your way. We'll get to your calls after that, 800-919-3776. The poll is up. The poll is up as far as what do the people want to do. Right now, cutting Mike Tannenbaum short is at 68% to 32 for a full Tannenbaum interview, a full lustrous Tannenbaum interview, and no observations. So we'll see how that plays out. I want to remind you, you can listen to us anywhere. Just click listen live at ESPNNewYork.com. Find 98.7 ESPN on the ESPN app or the TuneIn app, or simply tell your smart speaker, play 98.7 ESPN. At 98.7 ESPN New York, we go where you go. All right, Rick, I don't know where you're going today, but it is time for CMT.
All right, here we go, boys. Tuesday edition, Cuddle, Marry, Trash. I'll give you a hint where I'm going. This is topical. Something that I'm sure at some point during the show we'll actually mention. Maybe even in the Mike Tannenbaum interview.
In that brief Mike Tannenbaum interview, yes.
There's a certain New York athlete that has been the topic of a lot of conversation. Negative conversation if you are a fan of this team.
Uh-huh.
Has now even for some reason had his teammate.
Which I can't believe he did that.
Why would you choose now to interject yourself into this if you're Marcus May?
I don't know.
People love you now. Even if it's fake, just deal with it.
Yeah, just ignore it. Don't get involved.
You're going to be the guy. But he didn't. So, I mean, needless to say, today's CMT is focused around one Jamal Adams. Ooh, we're going to go back to the 2017 NFL draft. Okay?
I love that you guys are really simpatico right now. You say NFL draft, he plays the chimes. I love what's happening here.
Oh, this is what happens when you do some, you know, pre-show work. Get up a little early, a little face-to-face. Just checking all the boxes. You know what, Dave?
I love it.
Just checking the boxes.
I love it.
All right, so here we go. So this is how it's going to work. So I'm going to give you divisions. Now, some divisions have teams that didn't make picks, so I narrowed it down to divisions that made first-round picks.
Okay.
So we're going to start with the AFC North. You're going to tell me the pick that you want to marry, the pick that you'll cuddle, and the pick that you think was trash. Okay?
Okay.
Here we go. AFC North. First overall pick in that year's draft, 2017, was one Myles Garrett. So I'm going to give you Myles Garrett. Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you Marlon Humphrey, 16th overall pick to Baltimore. And I'm going to give you one, J.T. Watt, 30th overall to the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm. Chris, you want to start?
Yeah, I'll start this one out. So I am going to marry the Myles Garrett pick.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I mean, this guy has the potential to be defensive player of the year, and that's going to probably happen sooner rather than later. I like what he brings to the table. There's a reason why the Cleveland Browns want to lock him up to a contract extension this offseason. I am going to cuddle one Marlon Humphrey.
Roms and fallacious seeds.
He's terrific.
I know that's probably a little bit of a surprise, but you're talking about an all-pro corner that's, what, 23, 24 years old? So, yeah, I'll take that all day, every day. If you're talking about him being the best at his position and he's only 3 years into his career, yeah, that means a whole lot. Plus, he plays a premium position, the cornerback position. So I'm going to cuddle Marlon Humphrey, and I'm going to trash T.J. Watt.
I think it's J.T. I'm not sure.
No, it's T.J.
I love how Santiago thinks I'm serious. I know it's T.J. Watt. Santi, I appreciate that. Thank you.
You have to marry Myles Garrett. There's
if
no,
it was socially acceptable,
no two
I
ways
would marry
about
them.
It. So I'll marry Myles, which is not easy to say. I'm torn here, Chris. Humphrey is terrific. So is Watt. I'll go with you. I'll cuddle Humphrey.
Bombs and lazy seeds.
It's not lazy. You know what? It's not lazy. Because I respect his football acumen. How is that lazy?
I'm
I think it's
joking.
Smart.
Stop.
And I will trash what?
Don't be so sensitive.
Fucking this garbage!
All right, I was going to go NFC North. And then I looked at the NFC North. You had Mitch Trubisky go second overall. Still makes no sense to anybody. You had Detroit make a pick. They picked Jared Davis. And then I didn't want to get into the second round when Green Bay picked. It went with Kevin King, so I stayed away from the NFC North. So I'm going to take you now, where I'm an insider, the NFC South.
Oh, his NFC South.
I'm going to give you Christian McCaffrey, Marshawn Lattimore, and Ryan Ramczyk.
All right.
Let's see. This will put your
Saints had a hell of a draft there, huh?
Put your GM hat on, David.
See, it's screaming take McCaffrey.
Which would fly in the face of everything you said about running back.
No.
Right?
You got to tackle in a corner.
He's so good. I'm still going to take McCaffrey.
Wow. Okay.
I'm still going to take McCaffrey. I mean, he's a completely game. Now, if you offered me a quarterback in there, I would take the quarterback. But I'll still marry McCaffrey.
If it was socially acceptable.
So everything that you said negative about.
Not everything that I said. I said you never take the elite running back over you.
So not only
the elite quarterback.
Not only do you look like Dave Gettleman, you actually pick like Dave Gettleman, because McCaffrey was Dave Gettleman's pick. Yeah.
Yes.
I will marry McCaffrey. You can make fun of me all you want. It's the right
thing.
I'll marry McCaffrey. You don't make this easy, DiPietro.
I'm trying not to make it easy. I get yelled at when it's too easy.
Tackle. I mean, Ramczyk is an elite player. Also I'll cuddle Ramczyk.
I can appreciate that.
And hellacious teeth.
And Lattimore gets kicked to the curb.
Wow! Wow!
Aggressive.
That's very aggressive.
Davey Dimebag's getting aggressive today.
Well, like Dave says, man, I mean, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. I am actually going to, I'm going to cuddle Marshawn Lattimore.
And
former defensive rookie of the year, Pro Bowl corner. He plays a premium position. I've got to cuddle up to him. I've got to have him around. Now, the next one is going to be an interesting decision, but it comes down to replacement level value. And I feel like I could find a running back that could give me similar production sooner than I could find a tackle that could give me similar production to Ramczyk. So I am going to marry Ryan Ramczyk.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry.
And I am going to trash Christian McCaffrey.
Firmly. This garbage. Look at this garbage.
What's crazy about the 2017 draft too is that in the second round you had Minnesota ends up taking Dalvin Cook, who's great, mm-hmm. and Joe Mixon went 48th to Cincy,
yep.
who's also a really good running back. And then Kamara went in the third round.
That's crazy.
How was their draft?
The Saints nailed that draft.
Oh, my
Incredible.
Goodness. Unbelievable draft by the Saints. Okay, from NFC South, we're going to go to AFC South. I'm going to give you Leonard Fournette. Ooh. Deshaun Watson, just so you know, was out of this because that's too easy for you guys.
Right, that's obvious.
Fournette, Corey Davis, Malik Hooker.
Ugh. All right, Chris, you're up.
Oh, God. okay, I am...
Can we say that Corey Davis has been a bust?
That's
strong.
He played better last year. He played
but
better
he was
last year.
He was wasn't he the fifth pick, Rick?
Yeah, he was the fifth pick. He played better last year.
He was sandwiched between Fournette and Jamal.
But that being said, Dave, even though he played better, I'm still gonna trash Corey
yep.
Davis. Still throwing him in the trash. I am going to, I'll cuddle Leonard Fournette and I'll marry Malik Hooker.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I will start in reverse order, but agree all the way through. I will marry Malik Hooker.
If it was socially acceptable, I would marry them.
I will cuddle Leonard Fournette.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And you may say not a bust, but not far from it. With the fifth overall selection, you're not looking for what Corey Davis has given you so far. I will easily kick him into the trash.
This garbage! Look at this garbage!
Yeah, you marrying or cuddling a hooker doesn't surprise me at all. One bit.
You know, I didn't see that coming, but that was well played.
All right, here we go.
You'd almost have to wonder if he gave you two clearly inferior players to Hooker just so he could use that.
Yes, I think you might have said that.
Yeah, that was diabolical. Well done.
Well, but you didn't even realize. No, it buried the lead. I didn't even get to say it the other day. You didn't even realize that in the course of my CMT, I think it was yesterday, you married the Jets, the Eagles, and who else did you marry?
Cowboys.
And Dallas. You married the Jets, Eagles, and Dallas, mm-hmm. all in the same CMT.
Yeah, but I think what you just played over there was better.
Oh, it was better.
It was creative. It was well done.
But it's nice to see that you realize that there's some thought being put into this. AFC West, Mike Williams. This was not a great division. Garrett Bowles in Garyon Conley.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Ugh.
I know.
Sure ups, Dave.
Not much to choose from. Yeah.
I think the married one is easy. The marriage is easy.
Is it the marriage? Who am I marrying here?
I think there's really only one choice of who you would marry.
I think you got to marry Mike Williams, don't you?
Mike Williams.
I guess. Yeah. Mike Williams, hardly what I say is produced the way you would have expected.
I mean, I'm not in love with Mike Williams. Garyon Conley?
No, I guess you can't. I guess I'll marry Williams, but I don't love it by any stretch. I'll cuddle bowls.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I'll trash Conley.
Yeah, no one said this. Listen, this doesn't have to be a 50-year marriage. This could be just a quick one, you know?
Right. I want to sign the prenup there, and I want an out.
Yeah, this could be a trip to Vegas. You made a mistake.
I want the out. I'll just Little White Chapel. Get it done. In, out, we're done.
Wow.
In and out, we're done. Sounds right.
Yeah, I'm going to do the same thing that Dave did. I'm going to marry Mike Williams. I'm probably a little higher on Mike Williams than Dave is. He was a 1,000-yard receiver last year. Just saying. Had double-digit touchdowns the year before. Pretty good player.
Yes.
I will cuddle Garrett Bowles.
Bombs
and I'm going to trash Garyon Conley.
Look at this garbage!
Would you guys say in the landscape of college football that Clemson produces some of the best wide receivers?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Clemson does a good job with that. All right, here we go, Dave. NFC East. I'm going to give you Derek Barnett, Jonathan Allen, Evan Ingram.
So Allen, Barnett, Ingram. All right, Chris, you can start, but I don't think this is all that difficult for me. Go ahead.
Cuddle and marry could be difficult. Cuddle and
the
marry
trash is not difficult.
You're trashing Evan Ingram.
Wow.
You have to.
I will be, yes. Would you like me to start? Do you need a moment
to... You're going to trash a New York Giant, Dave?
Listen, I'm in this to play appropriately.
This has worked so perfectly for me the last couple of days.
Why are you doing this to him, Rick?
I'm just testing him because he says he's got no... I mean, he says there's no emotion involved. He'd be a great GM. I want him to prove it.
I've proven that all the way through. You can't deny that I have proven that I am emotionless when it comes to this game.
But again, I can't do it one time and say that's proven it. There has to be a track record.
All right, you want me to start, Chris?
Okay, no, I got it. Here's what I'm going to do. I am going to marry Jonathan Allen. I think he's one of those guys that's he's a prototypical odd front defensive lineman. I mean, he can rush from the inside. He can rush from the outside. I just like his versatility. And I like his physicality, his overall toughness. So I'm going to.
Some would say that Dave has an odd front.
Wow. Okay.
What would you do if I ever left the show? Really? What would you do?
I would quit.
I mean, if I ever left the show, you would have no one to beat up.
Yeah, but myself, and I would quit. That'd be it. I would just off into the sunset. That would be it.
Yeah, you just ride off.
Hey, you'd never hear from me again. I'd go dark, Jack Bauer style.
Wow. Okay, I'm going to cuddle Derek Barnett, and I'm going to trash Evan Ingram.
Both of you, trashing Giants. No wonder why Chris doesn't work for the Giants anymore. all right, last one, AFC East. AFC East. I'm going to give you Jamal Adams, Tre'Davious White.
Really good.
Oh, yeah. And Charles Harris.
I think the trash is easy on that.
Yeah,
one.
The trash is going to be Harris. Yeah. So let me do that.
Here's where it gets interesting, though.
No, you know what? I don't really think this is that difficult for me. I'm going to cuddle Jamal Adams.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And the reason that I'm doing it is because I value the corner more than I value the safety. White is a tremendous player. I'll marry him.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I'm right there with you, Dave. Corner is more important than safety. Corner is a top five position in terms of importance in the NFL. Yeah, I'll roll with that. I'll roll with Tre'Davious White in the marriage, and I will cuddle Jamal Adams.
And there we go.
I'm not going to sit here and let you downplay how good Jamal Adams is.
We didn't downplay it at all.
He's the best safety in football.
He's not just a safety. He doesn't even line up. He's 55% of the time he's lining up all over the place. Linebacker. I mean, he's all over the place. He's a weapon.
Okay, I'll take the guy that can blanket another team's number one wide receiver and not let him catch any passes.
You're so sensitive.
I'll take that guy.
No, I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just trying to make a case.
Yeah, what would you do?
Probably the same.
Yeah,
exactly. Right. What are we talking about?
So?
Exactly.
Are you want an update on the voting?
Intradavious seems to be less of a problem at the moment than Jamal is.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, think about this, man. The Jets passed on taking Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, and you could have had Tre'Davious White or Marlon Humphrey, two really good corners. You passed on that to take Jamal Adams. And Jamal Adams is actually the best player at his position in the NFL. And you could be forced to trade this guy.
It's possible.
No, well, because unfortunately for Jamal Adams, the guy who drafted him wasn't very good at his job. And the quarterback he picked is now playing baseball. Solid pick.
All right. So here is the updated result. Short segment with Mike Tenenbaum, 62%. Skip and observations today, 38%. So right now, it'll be Mike T, goodbye at 11:44, and observations, hello, at 11:48. Let's go to Omar in East Brunswick. Omar, you're next up on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, guys, I hope you had an amazing weekend, especially Rick and Dave, you know, fathers. Must have been awesome.
Well, yeah, but Chris has a dad that I know he spent the weekend with, so yeah. You can just blanket statement that. You hope you all had a great weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, right. Chris Canny, I hope you had an amazing Father's Day weekend yourself.
Appreciate that.
No problem. So I'm a huge Jets fan, and I'm on the side where I'm actually very mad at the Jets. You know, we don't have last year just an example of just how much he means. We didn't have any ends. We didn't have a presence as D tackles. Our best cornerback was an undrafted corner from Rutgers who showed up in midseason, I'm pretty sure. And our only other good secondary player was Marcus May. So because of Jamal Adams and the scheming that we used for him, our defense was top five. Now, I don't understand what the Jets are missing here. He has been our leader for all the time since he's came. No, you don't hear a peep from anybody on the outside. Oh, he's a bad guy in the locker room or any of this, any of that. But of course now, because it's right. Jamal Adams deserves the money he's getting.
He's obviously angry at the Jets. Chris, you seem to agree with that sentiment a little bit, right?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of being angry at the Jets. I just look at Jamal Adams as a foundational piece. Like, he's a part of the young nucleus that you're building in order to make this team consistently competitive. I don't see how you become a better team by getting rid of Jamal Adams. I mean, if you trade him away for draft capital, you're hoping that draft pick or picks, you know, add up to players that are able to contribute like Jamal. So to me, I just feel like this is one of those situations, because you have your quarterback still on a rookie contract, that you send a message to the rest of your team by rewarding a draft pick, a homegrown guy that has exceeded the pay scale of the current contract that he's on. Jamal Adams is scheduled to make $3.5 million this coming year, and he's the best safety in football. The top paid safety in football is Eddie Jackson. He's making around $14.5 million a year. Something is wrong with that. And the Jets are in a position to address the contract. They have the provision in the CBA where you can pay a guy after his third season. Now is the time where you can actually reward Jamal Adams. I don't understand why they would hesitate to do so.
Well, I think that both sides need to negotiate. I mean, I can see both sides of this. Do I want Jamal Adams to be a Jet? I absolutely do. I don't think Jamal Adams wants to be a Jet.
I think he's made that pretty clear.
Let me ask you this question, Rick. You're saying that both sides should negotiate, but shouldn't the Jets have reached out to Jamal to try to kick off these negotiations a lot earlier this offseason? Like, why are you waiting until now? And even now, it still feels like a one-sided conversation.
Well, I don't think there's a negotiation going on at all. I don't think the Jets plan to pay him.
That's my point. I think it's a little ridiculous that you haven't even engaged in contract talks with your best defensive player.
Yeah, I can't answer that question. I mean, I've said this the entire time, Dave. You know, we've said this the entire time. If this, I mean, this was a conversation that needed to be had before the draft, to have an idea of what he wants and what it's going to cost. And if you're not going to be willing to get to that number, then you should have traded him.
Yep.
Before the draft. And now you're in a position where
it's only going to get worse.
Well, it's only going to go. I mean, you saw what he tweeted to Marcus May. I mean, in his mind, he's done. That was a farewell tweet to Marcus May. He's not a Jet. In his mind, he's not a Jet anymore.
But he will miss him.
He will miss him, and we'll miss Jamal. But, I mean, at this point, who knows? I mean, who knows, you know, what kind of deal you would get.
You can't trade him now, though. Unless you're going to get value for this coming season, I don't know why you would trade him now.
But here's the thing, though, Dave. Can you afford to have him be in that locker room and potentially be disruptive to what Adam Gase and Joe Douglas are trying to do?
No.
Because that's the other part.
You
there
really
are a lot of guys
up,
on that
to be
team.
Honest.
Dave,
You've
there
really
are a lot of guys
up.
On that team that follow Jamal Adams. And so with the current situation and the relationship that he has with the organization, I can't imagine if you force him to come back to the team this coming season, I can't imagine that that's going to be a positive for Adam Gase.
It's a disaster, and it's going to get worse, and I don't know how it's going to play out. I don't know how it ends well.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.